Let's pray. Father, we would bow before thee this afternoon and thank thee for the privilege of being at the conference, to being hearing thy voice, being taught the truths of God and challenged with the word of God. And we have a fresh need now that only thou canst meet. We pray that thy gracious Holy Spirit would guide, and that which would be spoken and developed might be of mutual blessing to each one of us. So we ask thy help. We acknowledge our weakness and our feebleness, and we would cast the burden upon thee in the Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Now, it's a real privilege to have been invited to the conference here. My thinker got thinking, and the first time I was ever at the conference was in 1979. And at that time, I brought Mr. Richards and Mr. Frith up from the Kamloops Hall when we were building the building at that time. And Mark would have your stories on that, but don't talk to him, and you can't believe all that you hear. But I did get honorable mention at their home. I spilt things so many times that the children in the house could never get in trouble for spilling anything at dinner time. And so 43 years ago was my first time in the Edmonton Conference, and it's thrilling to see the assembly still going on. Many of the ones back over 40 years ago are home with the Lord now. But they've left an imprint in our minds and our hearts and the pattern of the way they lived and the way they loved the assembly and the way they loved the things of God. So I've just got one verse or two verses I want to read this afternoon. And we do pray that God would give divine help. Micah, please. Chapter 6 and verse 7. Almost at the very, very close of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6, just a couple books before the end. And verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, we know that the Lord will bless the reading of the good word of God. Micah is a very important book, as you know. Chapter 5, we have the promise of the Lord Jesus going to be in Bethlehem. And as the last closing chapters here, we find that Israel has gone astray. It's around 700 BC, and they're kind of taking paths on their own. Ultimately, they're going to be overcome by the Assyrians. But I just want to develop in a practical manner here. What should the Christian life be? What should it be characterized with? Let me make a statement in opening today. The Christian life should not be in compartments. But the Christian life should be totally, 24/7, totally live for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Remember the Apostle Paul, he could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I would have to confess in an earlier day, some of my beloved preachers would have said the Christian life should be for the assembly, it should be for the family, it should be for the job, and they tried to put us into compartments. I've wrestled with that through the years, and you can see I've had enough years to wrestle with it. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but I do not see that to be the pattern found in the Word of God. Our lives should be completely in the mind of God for his honor and glory. And the life of the believer is to be walked by faith, not by sight, as we've already heard, on the will of God. And love is going to be the motivation, the oil of the machinery, that's going to motivate us, encourage us, and guide us to move in ways that would be well-pleasing to the Lord. You remember when we got saved, we were brought under a new master. And because we were brought under a new master, we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. And so this life of mine, the few years God may allow me to live, however you want to develop it, most of them are gone, I realized, should not be lived in compartments. Saturday morning, I'm going to do my own thing. Monday morning, I've got a compartment for this. But the life should be totally for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just make one comment before I get in here. Sometimes I hear people say, I don't get anything out of the assembly. You know, I tell them, I don't expect you to. And they look at me like, well, why don't you expect me to? I says, the assembly, first of all, is for the Lord and for his honor and his glory. And your life and my life is to be for his pleasure. But when we come to remember him and when we hear the word of God, we get blessed as we come and we're with the people of God and we hear the word of God. But we do not come to get a blessing. But when we come, we do get a blessing. And so Micah 6 here, I just want to work through the verse here. And I want to remind ourselves we're saved. We're on the road to heaven. And being a Christian is to make God look great in the eyes of the world. In some of the areas in British Columbia, on the Indian reserves, my apologies, the First Nation reserves, they are bombarded with billboards. And they want to catch your attention and catch your attention. And it's just absolutely amazing, all the signs and the money they're making for them. Our lives should be an advertisement of being a Christian is great in every single aspect of the word. And so as I look at this, it says, he hath showed thee. Now, Brother Allen developed very well the mind and will of God, and he has showed us his mind. I have no excuse to say I don't know what the Lord's mind is. I have no excuse to say nobody told me that. We have the word of God to study. We have the word of God to read. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And so I am personally accountable to God because he has given us this holy Bible book divine, precious treasure, yours and mine, that we can know his mind. It is revealed. He says he is required of us. He showed us, oh man, what is good. Now, I'll just work through the words for a little bit before we develop it down. The what is good there could be an adverb or it could be an adjective. Both words are there in the original. In the adjective, it's a thought of something that is good. In the adverb, it's thought of something that's best or something that's beautiful or something that's going to be pleasing or well-favoring. Both are going to bring us pretty much to the same point. So I won't dogmatically say it's an adverb. And I won't dogmatically say it's an adjective because any word study book that I looked at develops it could be either one. And so he says he showed thee. He's going to explain it to us. He's given on the word of God to make it clear to us. And let me just stop for one second there. When you are seeking God's mind, and I added amen to everything my brother spoke, and I chatted with him after the meeting, let me just give one little comment. As you are seeking and as you are waiting, God, by the Holy Scriptures, with your exercise, with doors opening, can give you a verse out of context that will rivet and hit you between the eyes, and you know God has spoken to me. You say, why would an old fellow like you be in the work of the Lord? You see, because when I applied for my Nexus card, the Canadian said to me, he says, why would an old fellow like you be teaching some of the churches and you want the card so you can go and visit them? I said, that's simple. The young ones don't know the doctrines. That's all that just fired out of my mouth. But God gives us a word from himself. And so for myself, it was Cease Building in Ramoth. You say, that's crazy. A number of brethren told me to leave the tools aside and put the business down and everything. But it was clear as a bell, Cease Building in Ramoth. That was it. I was done. You say you move from the west to the east. What was wrong with you? Well, I had a father there, and I was an only child, and he was old in age. And so I made it a tremendous matter of prayer. What should I do? And the verse was to return to the land of thy youth. In the book of Ruth, the verse was to advertise. And I told Linda, I says, put it in the newspaper. 7 days later, the house was sold. Father's passed away. Estate's been settled with all the headaches of a stepbrother and stepsister. And Lord, in turmoil, should I stay in the east or should I come west? And I was to go westward through the mountains. I got that word 60 minutes before I had to load the U-Haul truck, not knowing which direction I was going to come. But I was in turmoil until I had a word from God. If there is anyone here thinking of the work of the Lord, make sure you've done the work at home first. If you've never seen souls saved at home, you're not going to see them in the foreign field. And there's no glamour 2 weeks after you leave. And you're going to need a word from God before you go to sustain you in that work, because it's not always going to be easy sailing. Now, I'm getting sidetracked, and there's no battery on the clock. I know to slow it down, but I've been at farewells for beloved brethren going to the regions beyond, and I told Linda, I said, they're going to be back. Well, how do you know they're going to be back? I says, because they stored everything, and they never could give a word as to what God gave them for direction to hold them. So he shows us, he makes it reveal. His mind is no mystery to you, and no mystery to me, but let me say, my type A personality, they tell me, doesn't like waiting, but it must wait. And it must wait on God, or I can miss blessing, or I can delay blessing. And so he says, he showed us what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? We search for it. We pursue for it as a thought. And it's to do justly. Divine decrees, the law of man is to be practiced, to bride things honest in the sight of all men. No, it doesn't say that. Brother Dave was going to talk to me after the meeting, I know. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's required of you and I as the people of God. And so if you and I've been in business for a number of years, aircraft mechanic before that, we must provide things honest in the sight of all men. That business is not for me. It's for the Lord's honor and glory. Develop it how you want. And so he tells us here, and to love mercy, kindness, good deeds, and to walk, behave yourself humbly, lowly. So we'll look at this a little bit, and the Holy Scriptures guide us, and the Holy Scriptures will preserve us. And so Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right or to the left. The will of God will never go against the word of God, the will of God. We know that very well. And how can you have unity in a local assembly? I ask that question a lot. I tell them, that's the simplest question you could answer me. Well, if it's so simple, what's the answer? You obey the word of God. I obey the word of God. Brother James obeys the word of God. And Brother Alan obeys the word of God. We're going to be about 97% on the same page, I think. Unity, obey the word of God. I can't change you and you can't change me. But I can attempt to obey the word of God, and we'll have unity in the assembly. Let me remind ourselves, compromised truth is no truth. And the word of God never changes. Doesn't matter what error we are in. And so he is reminding us here that there are paths that are going to be for his honor, and they're going to be for his glory. And he's given us the divine word of God to guide us. Every movement in our path, I fail at it, I acknowledge, can be guided in a path for his honor and glory. It will never go against the word of God. It will be pleasing to the Lord. I find that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow thereto. Dear one in the gathering, particularly younger, we're thankful you're here. God bless you. Could I please encourage you to wait on God's timing for the he or the her of God's choice in your life? You will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. You will eliminate many technical problems, if you want to label it that way. Because in most of the states, I don't know your area, 66% of the marriages fail. And so it is encumbrant to be of one mind, or you can't walk together. He gives us in Psalm 49 springs of water. It's the water of the word of God that will guide us. And the meditation of thy word, it's sweet. Did you ever have a day when you didn't read the word of God? You're saying, did you, John? I did. And you know what? The day doesn't go well. And everything seems to go worse than normal, if you want to call it that way. So we sang a little hymn where I was saved as a lad. Get the daily Bible reading habit. You'll want to keep right at it till you read your Bible through, clear through. The Christian life is made up of habits. And one of the essential habits is to meditate on the Word of God and to hear the Word of God. And maybe I don't remember it as good, but let me tell you, it's cleansing while it goes through. It's helpful. And Jeremiah 10, we quote, it's not in man's heart to direct his steps. You know, I think I'd like to go down to San Diego. It's the most temperate climate in the whole country. 7 degrees, 70 degrees year round. I enjoy swimming. Surely the Lord would like me to be there, wouldn't he? A brother said to me one time, how come you are going up north where it's 40 below for gospel meetings? Nobody does that in the winter. I says, well, I really want to go where the Lord wants me, so I don't let the climate be the guide. And oddly, I'm one of the few preachers that's ever in Arizona when it's 120 degrees. I don't know how the Spirit of God works that, but I'm very content to be where, in the fear of God, I believe he wants me to be. Jeremiah 6, it says, stand and ask for the old paths, the good way. It's just the path that's found in the Word of God, the pattern of the Word of God. We don't need to reinvent a new wheel or something, but we need to follow and practice what the Word of God says. If we want blessing, practice the Word of God. Reach out with a wonderful gospel, as we heard. Can I ask you a question? I'm sidetracking, but you'll tolerate me. It's John. How are you doing on the gospel, brethren? How are you doing on reaching out? How are you doing on follow up? You know, if we don't reach out, we may die out. Solemn. And did you know we're in the enemy's land? Now, the Lord preserved me from Nam, but a lot of my friends were in Nam. I like to try and do a little hiking in Phoenix because it's only about a mile to a mountains by my house. But you know what I learned? You better look where your feet are going, because I had one time where the old rattlesnake and I were really close. And I had the heebie-jeebies immensely because they blend in the rocks so much. The Word of God says to move circumspectly. We're in the enemy's land, and he wants to do a sneak attack to hinder us in carrying out the will of God and making progress for God. He says, I've showed you. The path of God encompasses every aspect of life. And the tests and trials in life, James chapter 1, they're to strengthen us. God never tempts us with evil. And he says, count it all joy. How can I count it all joy with the tests and the problems and the sickness? Because our times are in his hands, Psalm 31, verse 15. And if my times are in his hands, he will give me the grace. He will give me the enablement to go through that for his honor and glory. Now, if we're going to build for God, we're not going to go to the lumber yard and get, you know, cement, timber, and everything else, but we're going to do it with the Word of God. And we're going to do it in unity. And we're not going to do it grudgingly. And so he says, I'm showing you what's good. I'm showing you how to build for God and how to live for God. Did you know that fellowship with men is the fellowship with your doctrine? So we don't fellowship with everybody, and we don't go to every place. We're careful where we go, and we're careful who we labor with, because we want to be on the same doctrinal page to build and bind and bless the people of God. It's a principle. 1 Samuel. Them that honor me, I will honor. Beloved, you put the Lord first, you'll have no regrets. And so he's saying, I've showed you this. And he says, I'm showing you what is good and what good thing, what's pleasing to the Lord. Isn't it thrilling to think that in some little way we can please the Lord? That no good thing doth he withhold from them that love him? And you remember Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul was right on time, guided, of course, by the Holy Spirit. He says, even among yourselves, O grievous wolves spring up, teaching perverse things. Paul wasn't blind. Paul had vision, and it carries out today. There are some that misinterpret scripture to draw disciples after himself and don't rightly divide the Word of God. And I encourage you for one moment again, please don't compromise the Word of God. You can't improve on it. In love, attempt to carry out what the Word of God says. Paul could say, I commend you to his grace, and the Lord is to build you and able to give you an inheritance. But he reminds us that the day is coming that they will not endure sound doctrine. Can you imagine that? It doesn't really matter whether there's one mention or 20 mentions. All are equally honorable. Oh, I think that's kind of archaic. You know, you're just an old fuddy-duddy John, you know. And well, I know the Bible says that, but I'm really not interested in that. Beloved, don't lose reverence. Because when you lose reverence, in my observation through the years, the next thing you'll do will be watering down the word of God. Holy and reverent is our God. God is greatly feared in the gathering of his people together. We're not coming to a Sunday school picnic. We're not coming to a social gathering. We're coming where he is and to remember him and to honor him. And so he says, I'll show you what is good. I'll help you in this life be able to make godly choices that will bring honor to the Lord. Now, I mentioned at a conference recently that a preacher asked a young lady if she was married. So if you heard that, you can close your eyes and your ears for a minute. And her answer was pretty good. She said, a husband is a no good thing. And he says, why would you say that? Well, she says, you know, I've been reading my Bible. And the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that love him. So for me, a husband is a no good thing. Don't worry about it. God will bring the right one around if it's to be in his time and place. You don't need to run all over the land and every conference looking for a husband. Cannot God drop one in your lap? Well, you know, I shouldn't say in your lap. Well, that was the wrong way of expressing. Cannot God bring one across your path for his honor and glory? So our lives are to adorn the doctrine of God. Morals are not optional. Integrity is not optional. We live in a world today when sin is not called sin. I asked the one time, because, you know, us Americans, we couldn't go to Canada for a while without the shot and all these kind of things. So I said to one, how did you get to Canada to have some meetings? Well, he says, I got the card. I says, how did you get the card? Because you didn't have enough time to get the shot. And I could see the face turning kind of red, and wishing I didn't ask him. He says, well, the doctor gave it to me. And I said, I couldn't do that. God doesn't want us to lie to get across the border. God doesn't want us to lie to gain the next dollar. He wants us to be honest. These six things, yea, seven, doth the Lord hate. Proverbs 6, the lying tongue. Our lives should be above board. Our words should be honest. Our contracts, our dealings with one another. The saints are the most excellent in all the earth. Now, you might not think I'm the most excellent, but that's quite all right. I don't worry about that. But he says we're to treat one another, to love one another with a pure heart fervently. That goes with his showing us how to live. What is good? What is acceptable? Read 1 Corinthians 13 about love. Two preachers got chatting. One said to him, did you ever speak on that chapter? Oh, yeah, many a time. He says, well, the next time you prepare for it, put your name in where love is. And so he saw him. He says, how'd it go? He says, I couldn't continue my study. John is kind. John is loving. And he said it was too convicting. That's what God wants us, to love one another. And what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly. To know the difference between right and wrong. I had a young fellow riding with me. I won't tell you where. It was the land of Canada is all I'll tell you. And he says, John, well, he knows me quite well, staying at the house there. He says, can I ask you a question? Oh, sure you can. How come old people always drive slow? Well, I says, I know you wouldn't realize this, but I am actually doing the speed limit. The problem is your father drives fast, and you are so accustomed to it, you think I'm driving slow. I took a younger one to help visit one time. I thought it would be a good way to introduce him, how to knock at a door and go in. And we get in the house and I see the eyes looking at it. I'm like, something's not going too good, but I don't know what it is. And then the brother says to him, are you the one that drives such and such a pickup truck around here? Yeah. Well, I'm sick of the way you drive and the way you race around the roads and the way you get all the dust on my house. I think you should learn to drive better and more courteously. And I realized I had the wrong one at the wrong house at that time. I said nothing. And then he thought, well, I guess I do have to confess that, yeah, I did that. He wants us to attempt. I know we all, you know what I mean. Provide things honest in the sight of some men. No. In the sight of all men. That's going to build testimony. I had a young one help me in a tent in Eastern Oregon. And I says, you know what? We're going to be in the front page of the newspaper the way you're driving here because traffic tickets go in the newspaper. There's no other news. So I said, you got to throttle it down. It's not going to work. Well, what does require thee? Truth to be obeyed. Whether it just be the laws of the land, whether it be loving one another, whether it be the word of God, God is looking for a full surrender in your life and in my life for his honor and glory. That does not mean that you're going to have to move. That does not mean that you're going to have to change your career, though it might. But what he's looking for is your heart. Is take me, use me, make me, mold me for thy honor and glory. Can you remember that day in your life? Can you remember in your life, maybe you weren't like I was, I wrestled with God. What world? 20 years of age, tremendous job in the airlines. 2 months later, I put in my resignation. What world am I going to live for? Am I content with just a job to meet the bills, or do I want to climb the corporate ladder and not make the assembly meetings and have any time for the things of God? You ever wrestle with that? Been there and done that. Never look back once. He is reminding us here, what doth the Lord require of thee? Complete affection, complete dedication, a life completely surrendered to the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Now, I mentioned in an earlier conference, I guess I'm having senior moments, but you'll tolerate it. I got a phone call during COVID. Because I had it. And the one that called me says, I hear you have COVID, John. Yeah, so how you doing? Well, you know, getting along. Well, he says, I want you to know that whatever you need or whatever I can get for you, I will bring because you saved my life several years ago. And no cost is too much for me to help you at this time. There is one that died for us on the cross. There is one that shed his own precious blood. There is one that suffered agonies untold, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us nigh unto God. Is it too little to live for him? Is it too little to have a life of integrity and honesty? Is it too little to love the brethren with a pure heart fervently? You say, well, of course not. But we have the flesh. We have the world and we have the devil. Don't want to hurt your feelings, beloved. We've got three enemies. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so God is longing that our lives might be surrendered to him. He showed us in the word of God a path and a pattern that covers every single aspect of life all along the journey. And I'm with no excuse because I have the word of God. And he tells us what is good. It's what's going to be pleasing to the Lord. And what doth the Lord require of thee? The whole life to be yielded for him. The housewife at home, God bless you. Just as valuable as the one that's the executive. That's where God wants you. And if I'm a sweep in the street, sweeping and picking up the dirt with a shovel and a pan, and I'm doing it to the glory of God, it's just as valuable as the man, the top of the CEO in a company. Our lives are to be lived for Christ. Our lives are to be laid aside. My desires, my wants, my wills, my wishes. Leave the Montana for a while. Beautiful mountains. Let me embarrass myself. You young ones, you can laugh at me. That's okay. Work construction, energy, meetings at night. Saturday morning, up the mountain, rifle in my hand. I see that old buck and the steam coming out the nostrils, and it gripped me. I said, Lord, this has to go. Because there's souls in the valley that aren't saved, they're heading to hell, and I'm chasing a thing with four hoofs, and I've got plenty of food and a good job. And I took the gun to the pawn shop and I sold it. Needs to be lived for God. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just using myself as an example that I was wasting time. And what couldn't you use better? In my life, I'm not saying it's for your life, but our lives are not for our pleasure. Now, that's not saying we're going to just sit in a little room and be a monk all the time. If you don't come apart, you will come apart. You understand what I'm trying to say. But I was wrestling with God, a young fellow. Meetings in the Deer Lodge State Pen, a little chapel in Helena was planted there. And I was wrestling with God, and I was learning God, develop it how you want. And I realized, this Saturday's got to be used more profitably than chasing a deer. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. You understand that? But for me, it was wrong. So there might be something else that could become a lie, an idol in somebody's life. I'm not the one to say it. And it's hindering my growth and it's hindering my development. Maybe you never have those issues in your life, but I'm sure you do, because it says it's face answers, face and water, so the heart of man to man. My youngest daughter, she likes to ask questions more to embarrass me. She says, Dad, what's it like to be an old fellow? Well, I says, I still feel pretty good, but you know, I have to confess I can get a little tired now. I didn't know what that meant until I was way in my 50s. But I says, I'll tell you one thing. You don't want to waste any time on trivial things. You want to use that life for the Lord. And you want the days and the moments to be used for his honor, for his pleasure, for the building of the people of God, any way you want to develop it. Let me just ask you, dear one. You wasting your life? Is it all about you and all about this and all about that? Could I suggest that Christian living begins when your life is totally yielded, totally surrendered? He showed it to thee, to the one that died for us on the cross of Calvary. What does he require of thee? Live justly? Oh, you know, you got to step on people's toes if you're going to make it in business. No, you don't need to step on people's toes to make it in business. And you don't have to work all the hours they want you to work. Just put your foot down. Remember getting hired one time as a millwright, you know, nuts and bolts and alignment. He says, where are you going today? First day on the job, Toledo. I says, I'm heading home, 8-hour day. Well, we're working a shutdown. We'll be here 12 or 13. I says, I don't care what you're working, but there must be a miscommunication, because when I hired on, I says, I only work 8 hours. And if you wanted anybody over 8 hours, you got the wrong man. So I says, if you want me to leave today, I'll leave today. I'm done with the job. Oh, no, come back tomorrow. One of the millwrights came up and he says, nobody ever stood up to the boss before. I said, I got better things to do at night than to turn the nuts and bolts over extra hours. Take a stand. Tell him you got meetings. Tell him it's more important to me than the nuts and bolts and the few extra dollars. They're only going to tax you on it anyway. God is looking for a fully surrendered child of God, living in obedience to the word of God. Submitting to some of the ordinances? No, all the ordinances of God. Wow. Love mercy. Moses failed. He didn't realize the saints were the most excellent in all the earth. I read in Luke 6 that I'm to be merciful. As your Father also is merciful, compassionate. You know, when I'm in the meeting and one of the little babies is screaming their head off, I don't bother turning around. I say, Lord, I really don't know what's going on, but I pray that you would give mom and dad some help with this little one, because in a few years, the little one will be a lot older anyway, and it won't be happening. We don't need to criticize the saints on every little thing. In fact, we really don't have much authority to criticize on anything. Be thankful they're there. And in a few years, the little one won't be squawking. And maybe a few years, they'll be saved and they'll preach and learn the gospel, the grace of God. So we pray that God would give them help, compassion, mercy. He says to love mercy. You're the salt of the earth. Salt used to be used for money. Just the right amount. Boy, it works well. The missus put salt on her eggs the other morning, I shouldn't say, and she put too much. And she's like, I can't believe I did this, but I did it. And you never did. You know what I mean? We're the salt of the earth. And the Latin word is where we get our word salary from. You ever heard this saying, they're not worth their salt? They weren't working hard enough. They weren't worth their earnings or so. It's an antiseptic and it's used to prevent decay. And we can use it for a lot of treatments. And so I need to take a spiritual checkup sometimes. Am I dull of hearing? Has the salt, me, the salt of the earth, become contaminated with the world and its wants and its wishes? And I'm not loving mercy like I should. And then we're to walk humbly with our God. If I'm humble, I won't grumble. And if I'm humble, and I know I'm not always, shame on me, I'm following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was despised and rejected. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He gave himself a ransom for us. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. There was a turning point in his life. And God is desiring that we, redeemed by his precious blood, would walk humbly with God. The opposite, walking in pride. Pride comes before a downfall. Never happened to me. Can I work with others? You should be able to work with others. In fact, if you can't work with others, there's a problem. Because where the saints dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. And if we want to see the work of God prosper, and want to see the assemblies prosper, work in unity. You don't have to be the boss all the time. We don't have a boss. You know what I'm trying to say. The leader all the time. Let others. It'll be a reward for obedience to the word of God. And so as I look at this verse here, he showed the old man as good. What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. It's a picture of the whole life of a believer in love with the Lord Jesus, attempting to follow and obey the word of God, attempting to bless the people of God. He was subject to his parents. He was a carpenter. But his life was one unique one. Read Josephus at the time of the Lord Jesus. He said there was a man, if he could be called a man, whose name was Jesus. He was so unique in every single aspect of his life. And so might God help us that we walk by faith, that we attempt to emulate these characteristics by God's grace of what he desires of us. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, 1 Samuel 16. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. Our neighbors don't know the word of God, but they know us as neighbors. I remember where we lived in Oregon, and I'll sit down. The neighbor called me over. Dave, he says, you need to come over to the house, John. I want to talk with you. He's a paramedic during 9/11. He says, I want you to tell me what makes you tick. Why have you watched out for me? Why you've cared for me? Why you sat in a van when I left my garage door open till I came home so the house wouldn't be broken in? He says, I want to know what you have that makes you different. Golden opportunity to tell of the one who loved me and gave himself for us. That God might help us. I fail, beloved, to try and walk with God. That folks will take note. We've been with the Lord Jesus. For his honor and for his glory.